the playoffs?
Yeah.
What talk about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
It's the All Pro Bros Show. It's a sports show where we put you in the know of who are the bros and the misses, the losers, to those scared to win, those in the game, to the set, to the match, alley oop, one for the crew. Every touchdown to bring you every virgin statistic. You caught up over you missed it. You know the decisions, the opinions, the blow of the whistle, the flops, the fouls, and all of the issues. Every punch, every kick, every throw, every switch, every leap, every flip, every run, every twist. Stick it down in history. Each loss, each victory, those in the winner circle. To the losers bracket, Eddie Gretzky, Brady Ripken, Jordan and Magic. Whether it's a field goal or a shot in the basket, going for the gold or home runs. Gonna talk that talk, shoot with the pros, the All-Pro Pro Sports Show.
Yo, what's going on, people? You are now in tune to another episode of the All-Pro Pro Sports Show. It's your boy Triple.
It's Adamus. It's your boy.
He's a little bit more focused tonight. I think the advocates of the hooded one called him. So we want to start the show off as we cover NFL week number 5. And it was a very exciting week of football. Got to talk about, are we down with the Zip Zap or is still a Mac we trust? Because Billy Zappi had his first start this past Sunday and absolutely destroyed the Detroit Lions. But then again, it's the Detroit Lions. At least 5 of their defensive backs got injured in the game, but he threw for 1 touchdown. Everything else that pumped up the score was a defensive touchdown and then a bunch of field goals. So that's
what you have to look at. He didn't, for the most part, he didn't finish with, he was finishing with 3s instead of 7. So that's what we got to see, if he can complete those field goals into touchdowns more next week against the Browns.
Isn't it almost fair to say that that's classic Patriots in terms of their formula? Even with Brady, there was a time when Vinatieri and the guy after him were helping the Patriots to win games by field goals.
Yeah, they were helping them win the games, but that was more like to complete and end the games. But when Brady was starting, yes, for the first year Brady might have been game managing, but the second and third year he was actually picking up more of the slack. Due to contrary belief, people thought the first 3 years he was game managing. No, it's just really the first year. Matter of fact, the second year they didn't even make the playoffs. He led the league in touchdowns at that particular time with 29, and that was a different time in the early 2000s when it was defense heavy. But that even like his time from the beginning to end, yes, there were times that just like any team, like when you don't score touchdowns, of course you gotta obviously settle for the 3, but you try to make it your business to get more 7s than 3s, and Brady had mastered that, and that's what this kid has to master too. And and it will be his second start, so I'm sure he'll learn that. And probably lean into that, you know. But again, in terms of saying, oh, he's the new guy, we got to pump the brakes on that, you know.
I agree. It's way too soon for that. I think a lot of people are getting excited because of how he handled himself with the Green Bay Packers 2 weeks ago. And then even this Sunday in his first actual start, I think people are like, hey, hey. And it's like, yo, yo.
And people are sitting there doing that because, man, Max start with – was pretty bad, and I think it's because again, they set Mac up. I still feel they set Mac up to fail to begin with. Even though some of it, yes, is on Mac, in terms of the picks that he threw. In terms of the offensive coordinators, they didn't have the best system for him because they were trying to change things up when I feel they should have left certain things the same. But with Bailey, they try. You know, since he's a new kid, they of course they gotta, you know, run something that's, you know, elementary to him, elementary enough so he can get it since he's the backup. So, you know, we'll see how this all plays out. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because I'm not sure when Hoyer will be back. I'm guessing maybe another week or two, especially with the ever evolving concussion protocol. We'll talk about that in a second in terms of QB rules and protecting the QBs and should they get preferential treatment. But then also with Mac Jones, I'm still not hearing anything about a second opinion or even a decision at this time. Here is a quote from Bill Belichick in regards to if Zappe is the guy. He says, quote, "Yeah, I'm not going to get into a lot of hypotheticals on all of the different things that might or might not happen and all that," end quote, Bill Belichick. That's from WEEI Radio, talking to him on Monday morning.
I remember hearing that interview.
Continuing, he says, "That's to me a waste of time. I'm not going to sit around here and dream up scenarios and all that. We'll take things as they come and go from there. Obviously, Mac wasn't active against the Lions, so it wasn't any part of the decision." I agree with that. You know, everything to what you just said, Fonz, and to the Hooded One himself, just but I just quoted from him, you know, this is not a time to just jump and make a decision. Because this Sunday, for example, they're facing against a 2-3 Cleveland Browns. Patriots also are 2-3 in their division. So two teams with young quarterbacks in a similar position in terms of a record, though the Browns are at least number two in the AFC North, and they're tied with the Bengals. The Patriots are just dead last in the AFC East. So the Patriots so have some work to do.
So that just says their division sucks then. The Browns, the AFC North, if they're tied for 2-3 so far, that's pretty bad.
But so typically, the AFC North is strong historically. But yeah, no, you're right. This season, they're doing poor. Minus the Ravens are 3-2, and their quarterback is killing it right now statistically. But they're still 3-2 overall as a team. And it's funny, you got the NFC East, who's usually poor. They're strong this year, so. Very interesting. It's like in a football twilight zone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, one guy I heard on the radio, he's like, "I'm not going to jump on the zippity-zappity-doo-dah hip-hop parade bandwagon just yet. I'm not impressed with the kid. I'd rather have Mac Jones in." Like, tell us how you really feel. Mm-hmm. You know? So.
Wait, who said that?
I was a caller on one of the local sports stations. So, yeah, he's very impassioned to what he said. I kind of flipped it around. But nonetheless, like, I agree. It's too soon to tell. The Patriots in general have a lot of work on every single side of the ball that they need to work on. You know what I'm saying? Need their wideouts to have better synergy with any quarterback they have. And their running needs to be better as well. So,
absolutely.
We'll see. I mean, this isn't the usual Patriots season that we're used to. We're used to, like, you know, championship Patriots, but yeah, still rebuilding. So moving on in a quarterback conversation. So we already discussed Tua and his unfortunate concussions 2 weeks back to back, which forced the NFL Player Association to revamp some of the rules for how you conduct the concussion protocol. And once again, Teddy Bridgewater from Miami, he got a concussion this past Sunday. You know, it's like the Dolphins players again slammed hard this past Sunday. But then in general, you had a couple of interesting calls. Well, one call and one no call. Remember when Brady got the defender broke through and was able to bring him to the ground, you know what I'm saying? But he didn't slam his head the way Tua did, and he got the flag because Brady was looking for it. Typical Brady. But then the same thing happened to Mahomes on Monday night in the fourth quarter. Same type of tackle. Dude was running full speed and was trying to, like, at least not run right into him to crack the rib and kind of spun him down to the ground. But once again, Mahomes didn't hit his head or anything. He was looking for the flag and didn't get it. And the audience was upset. So,
but Derek Carr, But on the flip side of that same game, Derek Carr's not even as good as Mahomes, but he got the flag when Chris Jones tackled him.
This is true. So here's the question. Should there be preferential treatment towards QBs in general? Should there be, as Stephen A. Smith suggests, having the QBs be non-contact and they have flags, like flag football, but they're the only ones who would have the flag football? Or should there be some other form of tackling? You can't go low, you can't high. You know, like the old hip-hop song, hit him high, hit him high, hit him low, hit him low. You can't do that. What do you say?
Well, as Brady's lawyer, I think that was the correct call for Brady. No, I'm lying. I'm lying. That's totally bogus. Come on. Like, listen, we understand the sensitivity, but then this is what the NFL does, especially Roger Goodell. They like to go where the wind blows. So now, because of what happened to Tua, they're going overboard and say, "Oh, any little thing." It's just like that Twitter that you sent me. I wish you could show it. I think it was Boy Jay that sent it to us, Jonathan. They said, "This is how you want us to tackle the quarterback. Just lead into him barely, and just lead into him. Just lie him down gently and softly like a baby." Yeah, that's how the thing sounds.
Yo, Kevin Hart did the same thing on the NFL Network earlier. He's like, "You're going to tackle me, grab me on one leg, like, grab me on the other leg, and I need a pillow, man. I need a pillow. I need a blanket, too. Now, lay me down gently. Now, read me a bedtime story."
Like, it's ridiculous how these refs are just calling this. And the worst part is just calling this for certain plays, and I even call it, and it's worse that it being inconsistent about it. It's like, come on, what are we doing here, son?
Did you hear how Brady responded when the press asked him what he think of that? He's like,
I don't throw the flags. I don't call the flags.
Yep. I was like,
stop it. Like, stop
it. Wow, that's a very privileged answer. Not in the political sense, but in just say, "Hey, I'm an elite quarterback. I don't throw the flags."
Oh, that was political. That was very political. All right, he's like, "Yeah, I don't throw the flags."
That's Avery Johnson. That's a political answer. Ask again.
They should have pressed him like that. Like, come on, what are we doing here, son? Nah, they listen. The game, we understand how to try to make the game safer than when it was, but we can't be going to the other extreme. It's like, if there's something that is rough, that you know is rough in the passer, it's usually someone doing something after they hit, going too low, something of that nature. Okay, cool. But, you know, when someone's doing a regular tackle, we should know what a regular tackle is. Like, what are we doing here?
I think the referees don't know what it is because, like I said, the evolving rules and the concussion got them, like, all kinds of tweaking, like, yo, I don't know exactly what to do right now because I don't want to see quarterbacks hurt. I don't want to have any missed flags. Like, remember the Tua hit, the first one, no one threw a flag on that. You know what I'm saying? Second time around, like, oh, snap. So I think they're trying to figure it out themselves.
Yeah, but it was somebody at the same time. It's like, for the Tua situation, it's like, and I'm trying to remember how the first hit was, but when the guy stumbled on that, you should know that was an automatic concussion. Now, the Teddy Bridgewater one, I haven't really seen that hit, but someone's saying someone spotted him stumble, but nobody else saw the stumble. So I'm like, are they going overboard because of the Tua situation? You see, that's what happens. It's like, you can't be going overboard. You can't be going too far the other way just because of something happened. Yes, you got to definitely take precautions, but it's something. It's a thing of taking too much of a precaution that makes the game look funny in a certain way. It makes it look sideways. It's like I'm trying to make the game safe, but it's only so safe you can make it.
They've been trying to do that for years. New helmets, you know, heavier gear up top, changing how you can tackle and not tackle, you know, and even adding pressure to the quarterback. Can't just no intentional grounding, or I'm glad I got rid of the tuck rule. So they try to even add balances with that. Yeah. But the game is quick. It's violent. you know, quote Dr. Disrespect, the you know, the game streamer, violence, speed, aggression. It sounds like I'm talking about the Southern Call of Duty, but that's and that's NFL. You know, violence, speed, and aggression. That's the NFL. So there has to be a balance to it, but you can't do things like this because then now the players and us, the fanalists, I get it, fanalists, we get frustrated with these kind of things, you know?
Yeah. And especially with the phantom flags and whatnot, it's like, wait, what are we doing?
Yes.
Yeah, so most team benefited from it, even if Brady have been defending from the Patriots for years and now it's with Tampa Bay. I'm still going to be like, look, you still got to call this fair.
Exactly. So, well, speaking of quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts is killing it this season, finally getting his due. And the Eagles are the only undefeated team in the NFL still right now at 5-0. They're actually the favorites because of their offense to go to the Super Bowl. I'm very impressed by the Eagles right now. I know there's a lot of people who are diehard Eagles fans who are actually happy. And, you know, unlike the Knicks fans, the Eagles aren't letting them down. So,
well, so far.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's too soon to say they're going to go to the Super Bowl. We're only going into week 6. So, you know, it's way too soon to say that. But I would agree with most people. I'm impressed by the Eagles. They had great potential, but now it's realized potential, which I think is dope.
It's impressive, but we want to see if they're contenders or pretenders. Yeah, they're the only undefeated team, but Giants are 4-1, Dallas is 4-1, and I don't like it. None of us even like the Cowboys because of how they move. But
how at least about them Cowboys?
Say cowgirls because of how their fans are so daggone delusional. They're going to the Super Bowl every year and they haven't won since VHS tapes were installed, but neither here or there. But
well, the Cowboys have a better defense this year, and they're playing better statistically now than they have in almost 2 decades. I'm hearing. I'm like, yo,
give them a moment. I mean, it's true, but give them a moment. The playoffs still have to come around because there were times that they had a real ill record, even back in the T.O. days, and they still got bounced the first round. So that's why I said give them a moment. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. So
this game this Sunday is going to come down to the defense of the Cowboys, and we're going to talk about rush in a second, versus the offense of the Eagles.
Yeah, Rush, I like what Rush is doing. He's stepping in for Dak now. Talk about QB controversy, how they think they may be one in New England. We're not too sure about that. They may be one in Dallas.
I don't know. People just like to strum up drama, man.
They're like, controversy. Even, of course, Jerry Jones, this bum who owns the team, is like, yeah, I like the controversy. Like, shut up.
Well, as a businessman, it brings money and it brings eyes to the Cowboys franchise. Yeah. Apart from the Sunday games. So as a businessman, I get that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you may be right about that. You know, so it's like, yes, let them duke it out, quote unquote, like on the football field and let the people be interested and have their eyes, you know, but we'll see. I mean, but Cooper Rush is doing some good things. I do like what he's doing so far, so.
Well, I must say, in terms of the Eagles, though, what we're talking about, I think they'll be able to get a win this Sunday on the Cowboys. Dare I say, maybe at least within a touchdown. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much more, you know, than I jinx myself. But... But yeah, nonetheless, I think it's cool to see the Eagles doing really well. And, you know, and there's a lot more to say about them statistically, but I think every other person has already dunked that down, you know, into the hoop already. So let's move on a little bit more in terms of the Cowboys. Do they keep Rush when Dak comes back? Or does Dak get the start again? And this has happened before. Bledsoe was out. Brady came in. Yeah. Brady proved himself.
You know, everybody's trying to make that comparison between.
But you can't make the comparison though, because Dak is not Bledsoe. Because Bledsoe was the guy up until that point, And Brady was just that much more amazing.
Amazing. You know? Because even people try to make that comparison with us in New England right now with the Mac Jones and Zappi. And I don't, and of course.
They're two young bucks, man. Nah.
They're two young bucks. It sounds sexy enough to do it, but they're two young bucks. The Dallas one, I guess it's a little bit more, it sounds a little bit more feasible, but again, yeah, I mean, we still got to see. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting if that happens.
Another example I heard earlier on First Take was Keyshawn Johnson, when he was playing back in the day, and his quarterback went down on the Jets, and he had another guy, and that guy was frustrated. Keyshawn Johnson was frustrated from Stephen A. saying, like, hold up, you can't just say you want Rush to be in. Let me remind you of what you did when your quarterback was out. So you were frustrated, my brother. So it's easy to say, yeah, Rush, he's 4-0 right now, you know, and he's been able to do a lot. But Dak got injured real quick in the first game. You know, so we can't be like, oh man, Rush is that dude, you know, already. He's good. He's definitely a good player, you know, but I don't think we should rush, pun intended, to choose him over Dak. Now, Dak have to get healthy enough to throw the ball, especially with his hand. It's not going to be the same right away, you know.
Yeah, so, true
that. We shall see. So, I must say, wait and see. I don't have a definitive answer or opinion. What about you? Same?
Yeah, it's a wait and see approach. But Cooper, I think so far he's looking a little bit more impressive in his situation than Zappi, because Zappi just started his situation. Cooper Rush has been doing it for a few more games, but you know, I don't know the exact statistics. But again, we'll still have to see how that plays out.
And Rush has been in the league more years in general.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
So, last story I would like to cover is this Trubisky. He's out with an injury. I think a similar injury to Mac Jones, correct? Something with his ankle or something like that?
Yeah,
so he's going to be out for a little bit. And
who's taking over?
What was that? I'm not sure who's taking over. I didn't look that up. But also, they fired their coach, Matt Rhule. So, after only a few games in, but also, so let's look at this. The Panthers' record this season, right now, it is not impressive. It is 1-4. Last season ended at 5-12. So, you know, and he's been with them 3 years, and he has not done well with them at all. So he's gone. They're like, yo, you're tired.
But the thing is that he had a 7-year contract, so he's getting paid the other 4.5 years.
Yeah, yo, it's like a baseball payout. I was reading it earlier. I was like, dude, hold up. Let me bring that up. I saved it on purpose. Because, yeah, he's getting a lot of money for someone who got fired. He literally does not have to work again. Like, that's how much money he's making since he got fired. They should have pulled the Celtics and suspended him. that's just my opinion.
Well, so they can save some of that money, then.
Exactly. So it says this: former Carolina Panthers coach Matt Rhule, he was fired and he left with the best exit package I've ever heard of. He'll be paid just over $800,000 a month for the next 4 years and 2 months. And the NFL coaches typically have guaranteed contracts, and his was a whopper. So yeah, now this dude is definitely paid and he'll be fine. So that's one interesting thing. And then them not having Trubisky, you know, and they bank so much on him and hoping he can be their comeback kid, so to speak. But they're gonna have to wait for him to come back, kid. So
oh man. So
they're the team you feel bad for, but then it's like life just deals him another hard blow. So, but yeah, so, man.
Well, for the Davante Adams situation, he did apologize, even though he was wrong for that too, for frustration. You don't do that, but at least he was accountable immediately after he apologized. We don't know what's gonna happen. We know they have a bye week, he should, personally for me, he should get fined, not suspended, because, you know, even though the cameraman is now filing police reports,
yep,
trying to probably sue, get out of here, stop, just cut it out. Yeah, you weren't really injured. Like, cut the bull.
You know, as America, we like the American chop suey, everybody.
like they're trying to pull the McDonald's in that 98 and sue for the hot coffee. Like, because if a person like that could win, I guess anybody could win anything, right? But come on.
People sue for emotional damages. Emotional damage. It's like, come on, man.
Like, stop. Like, look, he'll get fined. I don't know if he'll get suspended. I don't think he should, but we'll see.
I give it a week. It won't even be a news item. Give it a week.
Yeah.
He'll be out when they come back from the bye week. He'll probably be back the week after that. I mean, the Raiders in general, talking about potential, and now look at them. They have a lot of things to get together. They should have won last night.
Yeah, a lot of dumb decisions. People trying to sell the analytics. It might be hilarious when people go for two when they don't have to at the end of the game to win it. I'm hilarious of even decisions like that. But this decision was just 100% dumb because they had 4 minutes left on the clock. But most likely, there was no other scores in the game, but there was more potential that Chiefs could have scored. Since they didn't score, you got the ball back. They did get the ball back, the Raiders I'm talking about, and you could have definitely scored and put that away. So either way, it made no sense for you to go for two when you could have just easily tied the game and you could have easily kicked a field goal, and I think they went for it on fourth down again instead of kicking a field goal. So that was two dumb decisions. Like, what? Josh McDaniels, I gotta really question your character, your intellect in terms of those decisions you're going. Come on,
wait, what are you blaming doing him? You don't think that was Derek Carr making that decision? I'm hearing it was Carr who made on the field decision.
No, that was McDaniels. He said it after the game. Okay. Oh, I thought
that I didn't see. Okay.
We should have put the game away. So that means you didn't even trust your team to get the ball back in 4 minutes to go? Really?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? What are we talking about?
Yeah, because they don't have a bad team. They're just not managing things well. They're not coaching things well right now.
By talent, they're decent, but you're playing badly. Like, I have to go with Bill Parcells. Your record is what you say you are. Your record says is. You are what your record says you are. So even with the pass being 2-3, until you get over 500 and start playing better, your record is what it says you are. So I have to go with the old Bill Parcells theory.
The tuna.
Tuna.
I have Carr and Adams on my fantasy football team. They're about to get dropped.
my fantasy team is doing horrible. I haven't even gotten a win yet. That is bad.
I'm 1-4 right now. So.
4-5. Like every time I put somebody that looks like they're doing well, and then the next week they decide not to do well. Like what is going on? Like,
and yo, for the people who are listening who do fantasy football, here's how crazy our league is. The top team was a dude who was on for all like maybe the first round and hopped off and said he'll let the computer pick for him. And he's 5-0. What the heck?
And we picked, and we're 1-4 and 1-5.
Bottom of the barrel.
Embarrassing.
So I might do the same thing next year. Choose a quarterback, and just let the computer auto-pick and get lunch.
That's what I'm probably going to do. I'm thinking the same thing. Because I auto-picked the first couple years, and I did okay. I mean, well, last year I kind of slipped. But the first year I was all right. You know? Yeah, I'm going to probably just do it. I'm just pick a couple players that's cool that I know I won, and the other time I'm just going to be like, screw it. Do the auto pick thing.
Grab lunch, exactly. That one 2 years ago in our league, last year was like top three. This, man, listen, yeah. I'm sticking it up right now.
Yeah, this is embarrassing. One of our people that even in it to win it, Steve, will say, yo, if you go, he told me, if you go Owen, whatever, Lions, like, oh, wait, I'm going to laugh at you. I said, oh, man, this is, I said, Lord, help me. I can't get a break. Like, the people that I try to pick that are supposed to do well, they stink it up. And then when I drop them for somebody else, then they start doing well. And then when you want to look for them again, they stink it up again. What do we do? What the heck is going on?
Yeah, I feel you. I thought I had, like, I'm in two fantasy leagues, just like you, that both my teams were ironclad. Nope.
0-0 whatever for both of them. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I'm glad I'm not playing for money.
Yo, for real, you'll be vexed right now.
I'm just not even playing for money. I'm just shaking my head like
this. Like fantasy football, NCAA, etc., etc. These are the reasons why I don't gamble. I'd be broke.
You can't. It's like it was like a certain match that you think are a sure thing. Nah.
I mean, with like DraftKings and all these other new things, and it's starting to get legalized more and more, state by state. I'm like, I'm good. I work hard for my money. It's gonna go towards my bills and investments and savings. I'm good.
Exactly. Same here.
So, Anywho, let's land this plane. Good episode for the All Pro Bro Sports Show. This is your boy Triple, representing the hoodie advocates.
For Brady advocates.
Oh, that's funny. All right, y'all. Till next time. Peace.
Peace.